Scana Energy is a proud partner. Yes, touchdown. Let's go Falcons. We're big Falcons fans. And as the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons, Scana Energy is part of all the action. So let's get fired up for our home team as we cheer them on to victory this season. Sign up with Scana today and get up to $100. Call 877-GO-SCANA or visit scanaenergy.com/falcons and use promo code Falcons for details. Limited time offer, terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready?
Let's effing go.
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Finneran is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Finneran, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
All right, Falcons fans, another week, another win. And you are listening to FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partners of the Atlanta Falcons, alongside BFin86, Brian Finneran.
Hello.
I am Tyler Nelson, and you are, like I said, tuned into FinCast. After a win over the Arizona Cardinals, Finn, a good weekend, but first, let's talk about the good news that just popped up right before we hit the record button. DeMar Hamlin is in a good, better state.
Yeah, it's almost a miracle what's going on with Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, breathing on his own after they had the tube removed.
Yeah.
What the doctors did, what the first responders did, what the doctors did on the field, the training staff, everything saved this kid's life and have him in position now, hopefully to make a full recovery. It is really, really special to kind of see the country come together, whether you're whatever ethnic group or race or whatever. I mean,
left, right, up, down, right.
Unbelievable. The prayers, the outpouring of support and money. He has a, they started a GoFundMe for his little, he had a gift-giving deal that he did, and he wanted to raise $2,500 to give gifts to kids up in Buffalo. And he did it. He'd done it the last few years.
Just $2,500?
Yeah. Just for a handful of kids that he was close with or whatever. Well, that was his goal. Well, that got out as soon as he got
Injured or whatever.
Injured. Yeah, beyond it. Died on the field for a second, then was revived. It just started going and going and going. So that $2,500 goal that he had has gone to a GoFundMe, a legit GoFundMe, and now is up over $7 million.
Oh my God, are you serious? I didn't hear about this.
Oh dude, it's
incredible.
Unbelievable, the outpouring of support for this kid and his family. So really special. The doctors at University of Cincinnati Medical Center and everybody involved, 24 years old. And you don't know if he'll be able to play football again.
Well, it makes
at
me
least
think
of his concerns right now. But
yeah, it makes me think of like Ryan Shazier, who had the linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers a couple years ago, who was, I mean, and he was a star in the NFL.
Big time.
A big hitter, and then had what, broke his neck on the field. And it's fine, walks now, and didn't think he was ever going to walk again. But that's, this is worse than that, or scarier, I guess.
Much more scary. To see the look on the players' faces on the field when this happened.
Oh, and I wasn't watching it. I'm so glad I wasn't, too. Like, the anxiety and just immediate, like, I'm so glad I wasn't
his
watching it.
His heart stopped standing up, and then he just dropped like a redwood in the forest. And it was so sad to watch. And you see the look on the doctors' faces and the training staff that was out there, and they're all on their little microphones on their shirts.
And you can see it in their eyes.
They're going back and forth in their eyes. And then when they started doing CPR, that's when the players really got emotional because he wasn't breathing.
Right.
And
you don't see that in on-field injuries.
I have never seen it. I've seen some grotesque, gross injuries, dislocated elbows and ankles and broken bones and this and that. But boy, oh boy. So good job by everybody up there involved, and really a miracle of sorts when you think about.
He's able, so the tube is out. He's able to communicate, and that's just, I mean, at least this quickly too, having it just happened.
Yeah,
so great to hear. So
they'll play. It really does. So they're not going to redo that game. It was Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals. They were 8 minutes into the first quarter. The game stopped. They thought about restarting it, but they realized that was not a good idea at all because they didn't know the severity of until about 15 minutes into it. So that game will not be replayed, and it does affect the AFC playoff scheduling as it goes forward. So it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out. where games get played, who ends up with the number one seed, and everything else. So, but that is, like I said, secondary to
everything
else.
Divisions, really, because they're not in the same division. So the Bills have clinched that division.
I meant conference, yeah.
Right. So, no, I know, yeah, I wasn't trying to correct you. I just mean to say, like...
Please don't correct me on the air.
Whose name is on this podcast,
Ever.
Damn it? No, but the AFC North isn't clinched. So that's really more where that comes into with the Bengals and... I mean, the Bills are in and good.
Yeah.
Set,
so it's Baltimore and Cincy are the two teams fighting for the number one mm-hmm. spot in the AFC North.
So they'll just use what, winning percentage, I guess?
They will.
That's a shame to see, but, you know, you do what you can with what you got, right?
That's right.
Moving on then to the Falcons, a good win over
awesome win against a...
Not great team.
No, but that doesn't matter. Every game in the NFL...
is hard.
It is very, very hard, and you took a chance. And the great news was Desmond Ridder had a chance for a game-winning drive against the New Orleans Saints, and we came up short. I think we lost 2017, if I'm not mistaken. And we're driving down to either kick a game-tying field goal to put in overtime mm-hmm. or go down for the touchdown, and Drake London catches a pass on a 4th-and-5, beautiful throw by Ridder, and gets a ball but knocked out, and
yep.
they fumble, and the game's over.
Right.
So he did it once already, showed he's capable of it, and then flash forward to 2 weeks later against Washington, same exact scenario, drive the team all the way down to the 1-yard line, take a mm-hmm. knee, kick the game-winning field goal,
right.
and he's got some gumption to him in some of that fourth quarter and two-minute pizzazz, I guess.
Je ne sais quoi.
Okay, exactly. So he's got that it to him,
yeah.
That Matty Ice type
right.
feel. So nothing really... He looks comfortable. I like what he's done in the first three games. If they can go out here and take care of business against the Bucs, that'd be awesome.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the hardest, I think, things for a rookie quarterback in the NFL to do is keep the ball on your side of the field, or on with your team.
Right. Meaning,
don't throw it to the other team, and he hasn't done that. So he hasn't...
Zero turnovers so far.
And he hasn't been flirting with it, really, either. So that's... I think a really good marker of what we can expect from him. Would you agree with that?
I would. He's had two throws so far in the three games that should have been picked off or dropped by DBs. But besides that, he's done a great job running this offense, staying within himself, and doing the things you're talking about, staying composed, not losing his mind, not flipping the ball up in the air. He doesn't look like he's getting hot feet in the pocket when he gets
right.
pressure. So everything you want to see from a young quarterback is what you're seeing.
So yeah, just with the... availability of what's available in the draft and where we're drafting the draft, we probably wouldn't be looking at a quarterback anyway, but are you more comfortable now with what you've seen? We have one more game.
Yeah.
Are you more comfortable now with...
Sure. I mean, four games is tough to get a real good
right.
idea of what he's capable of, but it's enough to go, I think he could pull this off. He looked comfortable. I there's too many spots on the defensive side of the ball that we need to address
correct. Yeah.
before we do anything. And when you have a quarterback, maybe you bring in a wily veteran, 8, 10, 12-year vet that can teach him a little bit, can be in the meeting rooms with him, push him, and maybe have a little competition, but let that kid know going into this offseason that this is your job. Dominate the offseason. Be the leader. Be there for every OTA and mini camp and offseason workout and show your players you want to be the guy that leads this team.
Someone like, say, Ryan Tannehill?
Maybe. Absolutely. No
I mean,
question. There's a handful of guys out there like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
and obviously he
Teddy
has,
Bridgewater.
He and Arthur Smith worked together in Tennessee. So speaking of answers, Tyler Algiers has had a great season and looks like he's going to be carrying the rock for us.
I don't want to correct you, but there's no S on the last name.
Really?
I hate to do that. Yeah.
Oh,
that's what people used to call Keith Brookings.
Oh, no,
I did all the time.
Or Tyler Kroger's.
Exactly.
Tyler Algiers, excuse me. Tyler Algiers, definitely an answer, at least for now. Running back position looks fantastic. Between him and Cordarrelle Patterson, it's just been a great year for the Falcons running game, and we know that. What are your thoughts on Drake London? I mean, we just talked about him putting the ball on the carpet again.
Yeah, he's had a couple unfortunate fumbles, a little loose with the football. But I don't want to say it's not to be expected because you're a professional football player and you shouldn't fumble the ball ever, but it happens in games. You just hope it didn't happen in key moments like it's happened to him now twice. But overall, I think he's been good. 66 catches, 746 yards, 11.3 yard average, which you'd like to see that go up a couple yards. Four touchdowns is fine. Like to see him get in the end zone. Desmond Ridder has zero touchdown passes. He's had one or two drops and opportunities to complete them. But
and
this week...
At least one rushing touchdown, right?
Zero touchdowns, by the way.
Okay.
So no touchdowns rushing, no touchdowns passing. So if there's one thing Desmond Ridder is going to do this week, it's either find a way to get in the end zone with your arm or with your legs.
Yeah.
And make that happen. That'd be nice to get his career started early, because to go through three games as a quarterback and have no passing touchdowns is not a good look. But to go 2-2 and finish it off against the Buccaneers with a passing touchdown or two, maybe get in with your legs as well, would be awesome.
Well, and Tyler Allgeier is 120-some-odd yards.
124 yards.
Away from a 1,000-yard season.
He's at 900 exactly right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yes, 100 yards from 1,000 yards, but 124 gets him, I think, the career rushing record for a rookie for the Falcons, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We've had some good running backs, but the Devontae Freeman, of course, is the one recent memory of rookie running backs that started their career with the Falcons. And he had a great first season, and all things being considered, a good 4 years here.
Yeah, I think William Andrews has the record with 1,123 yards rushing.
Okay, so I expect to see a heavy run game.
Jesus. That's what we do every game.
I mean, right? I know, but I think feed him a little bit more. I think that's, if I'm the coach, why not, right? The only thing I really care about, I'm happy to lose a slot, one back in the draft, to see Tom Brady finally lose a game to the Atlanta Falcons.
We are 0-10.
I know.
I'm 0-3. Well, personally,
that's better than 0-10.
Well, I'd have to have played 25 years, and that wasn't going to happen. So I played, I think I was in the first game and obviously the third game we played against him, because you don't play the AFC very often.
Right.
So to get a chance to play Brady three different times was pretty cool. We lost by 8, we lost by 10, and we lost by 17 or something. So he's a special quarterback. I don't know how much he's going to play, because they don't have anything to play for. But they say he's going to play a little bit. I bet he gets into close to halftime. I could see them shutting him down. But he's such a competitor. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He won't be happy about it.
No.
But if you're the Bucs, you got it. If I'm Todd Bowles, I'm thinking Grady Jarrett has his picture on his desk all week going, I'm coming for you, dude. Because after what happened at the end of last game, how do you not?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you not? That awful, awful call
roughing
on roughing the passer
on a
Grady
huge
Jarrett.
Sack
huge.
With a chance to stop them, get the ball in our favor, and go down and have a chance to win the game.
Right.
You're exactly right. I think the entire defense is going to be licking their chops. And I'd throw Dean Pease into that as well. Mm-hmm. Dean Pease is questioning whether or not he's going to continue. He's going to kind of
retire or
look at retiring or keep on going and see what he does there. But the entire defense has something they need to do against Tom Brady, and that's get a win for this franchise and make him pay for what happened the first time he played him.
So the number I wrote down is 2.5 sacks for Grady Jarrett. You go over or under on that?
Him personally?
Yeah.
No, I'm going under. We don't sack people, dude. What the hell are you
talking
about?
I know we're not,
but he has 6 on the season. Should be 7 or 8 based off of some of the terrible calls that he's gotten. I could see him getting 1. 2.5 over under for the game would be good for me.
For the whole team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're sitting on 21 for the year.
So who's Tampa Bay's backup quarterback? Do we know?
Kyle Trask.
Oh yeah, that sack number I think could go up if Brady does come out in the second half and you have a
young quarterback,
exactly.
Backup quarterback,
exactly.
In there, Kyle Trask,
who does get the hot feet in the pocket or whatever else.
So regardless of how it happens, I don't care. I just love to see this team get a win. We're 4-point favorites. They're assuming Vegas is that Tom Brady and a lot of guys get pulled. So it's a real good opportunity for guys like Drake London and Tyler Allgeier, and. Desmond Ridder to have themselves a nice little game against a team that's going to be pulling their guys throughout the course of the game and letting them rest for the postseason.
Plus, what is it, 2 points they give you for being at home?
Yeah, 3.
3, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be there. I'll be actually with our fine folks, friends at Scana.
Oh, sweet.
And, of course, the 6-8 Fan tailgate beforehand. If you haven't been
nice
one of those
little, nice little Sunday plan
FinCast fans, you need to come. They are awesome. So the last note that I have... Actually, I have 2 more, so I want to talk about.
Right.
The one that's easy to breeze by is, I just wrote, Julio Jones playing? LOL.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't practice to start the week, but he is likely to play, I think. What are his numbers this year?
Julio Jones, so far this season, 24 catches, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, but
forgettable,
he was hurt
at best
for a lot of the season as well. He's been banged up. That's what he does. He was out a day ago with knee and illness, wasn't spotted at Thursday's practice, so a typical Julio, but maybe you get him healthy and he can help you win some playoff games if they go. Tom Brady, Julio Jones, Leonard Fournette, the guys they have, and the defense that they've built, they got a puncher's chance wherever they have to travel to and whoever they play. Oh, they're playing home because they're NFC South
winners. Right, because they're the champs. Huh?
That's so ridiculous. Division
winner. I know, right? At 8-8, hopefully 8-9.
That's right.
So the last thing then, talking about Hall of Famers like Tom Brady and probably Julio Jones. This year, Devin Hester and Dwight Freeney, former Falcons both, probably not remembered as such, but where
right.
finished careers, are on the ballot for the Hall of Fame. Devin Hester, of course, holds the record, broke Deion Sanders for touchdowns off a punt return. Dwight Freeney has a sack record or two, I believe, right?
Yeah, Freeney has like 124, but he's been phenomenal his whole career. Impactful sacks is what you want to look at, but when you get over 100 sacks in your career, mm-hmm. you're putting yourself in high. You're putting yourself with the best
in the conversation.
Yeah,
yeah.
No question.
The creme de la creme.
That's exactly right.
I'm using French idioms today, apparently.
So you
think Dwight Freeney definitely Hall of Famer?
Yeah, definitely Hall of Famer. I don't know if he walks in this time or not. Devin Hester, definitely Hall of Famer. I don't know if he gets in this time or not. There's a nice list of the 15 guys that are there. There's three receivers that all have about the same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive. Torrey Holt, when he had his career with the Rams, did fantastic. Anquan Boldin. Most of his career, I think, was spent in...
I remember him as a Cardinal.
Yeah, I know. I do, too.
Yeah.
So Anquan Boldin, I remember him with the Cardinals early in his career, and then had a couple years with the Ravens in San Francisco.
San Francisco, too, that mm-hmm. with that Jim Harbaugh team.
So he and Reggie Wayne have eerily similar statistics. They both have over 1,000 catches. They both have, like, 80 touchdowns. They both have 13,000 yards, so they're right around the same thing. So
Reggie Wayne's the third one on the
exactly.
ballot?
Exactly. So all three of those receivers have a really good shot. You could flip a coin for any of them.
And what do they not all three get in?
No, there's just – they only get in five or six guys a year.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times they don't want to double up on the same position, I don't think.
Right.
So they got their hands full trying to figure that one out. But it should be fun to watch. I think that comes out in early February. We'll maybe right around the Pro Bowl. They'll figure that one out.
Reggie Wayne with most of his years with the Colts, and mm-hmm. I think of those Peyton Manning years, and only one Super Bowl there, right?
Yes,
with Tony Dungy. But yeah, I'm with you on that. You're certainly the expert on wide receivers, but
thank you.
If you had to vote for one, who are you going? You're welcome.
So for me, I think it's between Anquan and Reggie Wayne. God, Reggie Wayne, the time he spent in one place with the Super Bowl is big. Both are very, very deserving of it. I'll go Reggie this time and Anquan Boldin next time.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so what do you think happens on Sunday? What's your prediction?
I got the Falcons figuring out a way to win this thing, especially against a Bucs team that's going to pull a lot of their players. Do what you've been doing to this point. Stay in the game. The defense has been really good. We haven't talked about them at all. If they did what they've done the last 5 weeks, they'd be a top five defense, defense in the NFL. They're giving up 19 points a game. They fly around. They're gritty. They kind of give up a lot of yards in between the 20s, but they buckle down.
Really buckle down. The bend, don't break method,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, big time. So if you do that, I think this team can score 25 points and put this thing in their favor and find a way to win this ball game. So I got the Falcons winning by a touchdown just based off of guys are getting pulled and our whole team.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's important to go out on a high note, and not just for the team, but specifically for Desmond Ridder. Not just the confidence, just to bookend it nicely.
Yeah, right? That'd be awesome.
All right, well, we will come back next week and talk about whatever happens on Sunday. A win, of course, I mean to say, and what the NFL playoffs look like without the Atlanta Falcons. Until next week, Dirty Bird fans, we'll see you. Satan rides the waves of anger and scorn. My place of refuge is the eye of the storm, because thank you for tuning into FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. FinCast is hosted by Brian Finneran, co-hosted and executive produced by Tyler Nelson. If you'd like to reach out to the show, email Tyler at tyler@680thefan.com. FinCast is hosted by 680 The Fan on thepodcastpark.com and is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Opening and closing music by Atlanta band Gringo Star and their song I Will Not Follow. Thanks for tuning into FinCast. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate you, dog.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.